ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
The variety and effects of Jewish interest are endless. Once the door has been opened, an endless succession of schemes march in. Suppose there is no money in the world. You walk into a bank that has no money and ask to borrow $1,000. You give the bank your IOU, and the bank gives you credit for $1,000. You can either write checks on this credit, or you can take cash. If you want cash, the banker can go into the back room and print 10 $100 bills and give them to you, which used to be done, but now is illegal. Or he can phone the nearest Federal Reserve Bank, and they can send over $1,000 in paper money, which has already been printed. Let's recap. Before you walked into the bank, there was no money in existence. You gave your IOU, and the bank gave you credit or bills for $1,000. Your IOU is the backing for the money now in existence. One minute there is no money. The next minute there is $1,000. You can take the $1,000 and go shopping and spend it. The merchants are happy to see you come. Or you can bring the $1,000 back to the bank and exchange it for your IOU. You tear up your IOU, and it disappears. The money returned to the bank also disappears from circulation. The merchants never suspected that the $1,000 you were flashing around was created by you in the first place and backed by your IOU. There are several lessons to be learned from this illustration. First, people like you borrow money into existence. Next, money is backed by your own IOU. Third, if you pay off your IOU, money disappears. Governments were excluded from this example on purpose. They have the right and the power to make money and spend it into existence. The Soviets and Chinese governments do this. The Western and Third World governments are not allowed to. In order to make their Jewish bankers rich, these governments go to the bank, just as you do, leave their IOUs, just as you do, and walk out with a check or with cash, just as you do. They pay unnecessary interest to the banks, just as you do. In fact, in the United States, the government is rather small potatoes in this entire transaction. $2 are borrowed into existence by individuals and corporations for each dollar borrowed into existence by the government. This illustration is simple enough and easy to understand. In fact, almost everything about money is simple. It works the same way at the corner bank and in the big city. It works the same way for corporations as it does for governments. It works the same way everywhere. If you need money while in England, just pop into a bank. If you have the proper collateral, you will be allowed to borrow American dollars into existence. If you are in Hong Kong or Paris and you need money, with the right contacts and the right collateral, you can borrow Federal Reserve notes into existence there too. It's no big deal. People do it all the time. The big Soviet bank, Moscow Narodny in London, was one of the first to start lending American Fed notes into existence in a big way. If a customer walked in the front door and asked for dollars, fine. He would sign his IOU, leave his collateral, and walk out the front door with either a check or a fistful of Fed notes. The London merchants knew that Moscow Narodny was good for a few dollars, and so they accepted checks on that bank with no questions asked. If the borrower wanted dollar bills instead of a check, any one of 100 London banks would be glad to lend Moscow Narodny Federal Reserve notes to hand to the borrower in exchange for the borrower's collateral. After all, If the borrower defaulted, the collateral could be sold for American dollars, and everyone would be paid. Moscow Narodny started lending American dollars into existence in a small way after World War II. After a while, it was lending hundreds of millions of American dollars into existence. If Moscow Narodny could lend American dollars into existence, why couldn't any of the other foreign banks? There was no reason at all they couldn't. Thus was born the world euro-dollar market. Some dollars were actually sent from the U.S. to Europe, but most of these dollars borrowed into existence in foreign lands have never seen America. The world's trade is conducted in euro-dollars. You can go to almost any bank in the world and borrow dollars into existence. It is the one international currency that everyone understands. The following are a few quotes from the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco, the weekly letter, July 27, 1979. What are euro currencies? Euro dollars are simply dollar-denominated deposits at banking institutions outside the United States. Euro dollar deposits probably constitute about 3/4 of the total of all euro currency deposits. One of the earliest depositors in the 1950s was the Soviet-controlled Bank Commercial de Europe, whose codename Eurobank provided the inspiration for the name of the market. In the Eurodollar and other euro currency markets, however, the proceeds of loans are not automatically redeposited in the system. Most of the proceeds of Eurodollar loans are converted into foreign currencies for purchases or investments abroad, or transferred into transaction balances in the United States for purchases or investments in this country. Don't let the banker talk throw you. In the statement of, you can get a lot of good information. The word deposit means money borrowed into existence. You borrow money into existence and deposit it in your checking account in the bank rather than carry it around in your back pocket. Next, the article says that about 3 out of 4 euro dollars are borrowed into existence right there in Europe or wherever. Only about $1 in 4 is brought in from the U.S. Most of the proceeds of euro dollar loans are converted into foreign currencies. Most Frenchmen or Germans need their own currency to do business in their own countries. They take these dollars to the bank and exchange them for their own currency. This leaves the French central bank or the English central bank with a load of dollars. What are they going to do with them? They buy American government securities. This is why Europe is loaded with U.S. government securities. Many Americans are irate that just anyone can borrow U.S. dollars into existence. Unfortunately, the only thing that can be done about it is to change the system and require the U.S. government to create money, which will be done. If we fail that, there is no way the government or anyone else can stop foreigners from borrowing American dollars into existence. In other words, our government has no control over Federal Reserve money. About the backing for the euro dollar. Who backs this vast market of euro dollars? The foreign nations say they don't. Every dollar borrowed into existence anywhere in the world inflates the world's dollar pocketbook. Every time some banana republic or Iron Curtain country pays off part of their debt, it deflates the world's dollar pocketbook. The worry is that some sort of Polish or Mexican euro dollar default will plunge us into another 1929. To prevent this from happening, the banks have made our government pass the Monetary Control Act. This requires the U.S. government to monetize any foreign default guaranteed by a foreign government. This is the reason for the rush of foreign governments to take over their private banks. Will it work? Will this keep us from 1929? The answer lies in history. The many government monetary precautions in the past have not kept the world from stumbling into one depression after another. Something always goes wrong when using the Jewish interest system. There is one more item that our media is very careful not to mention, the real purpose of the Soviet banks in the West. We are told that these banks help trade. They do help trade. They help their government with politics and travel. They also do more. They also allow borrowers to borrow dollars into existence. How much? No one knows. It is supposed that these Soviet banks have lent billions upon tens of billions of dollars into existence, much of it lent to very shaky borrowers. From time to time, the demise of a single bank in the United States threatens the entire dollar banking structure of the world. If a single bank can do this, just imagine what would happen if all of the Soviet banks in Britain, France, and the Far East called their loans at the same time. In an instant, the borrowers would grab the floating supply of dollars to honor the call for dollars. The floating supply of dollars could disappear in a flash. Money could cease to circulate. Business, transportation, and communication would grind to a halt. While we try to cope with this paralysis, we could receive one last shock. This will shortly be spoken of. And now what we National Christians and many others have been waiting for, the year of Jubilee. We all know that the scriptural law requires that the land be returned to its true owners every 50 years. Leviticus, the 25th chapter, the 10th verse. Man has ignored the law. Massive changes in ownership of land, however, take place every 50 years, whether man likes it or not. Everyone has a reason for this 50-year catastrophe, but no one is quite sure just why it happens every 50 years, instead of, say, 100 or 200 years. The explanation most often given is this. In 50 years, all mortgageable property has been mortgaged, and consequently, there is none left to mortgage in order to borrow money into existence. Therefore, the system collapses. The Jewish usurer takes newly foreclosed property and lends money to a new debt-free borrower to enable him to buy it. The borrower is servant to the lender. There is a new generation of slaves who bend their knee to Baal and serve a new master. The commodity prices have risen and fallen, thus bringing to an end the present peace phase and beginning the war phase of the next cycle. In the war phase, commodity prices rise to fantastic heights. At some point, prices peak and plunge downward, ushering in the peace phase. Today, commodity prices are rushing downward. The very things that increased in value so much in the war phase are now rapidly losing value in the peace phase. As noted earlier, land sold for $300 an acre at the top of the first inflationary war phase, $500 an acre in the second, $625 in the third, and $800 in the fourth. Later, at the bottom of the first peace phase, the very same land sold for $25 an acre, $1.25 an acre in the second, $50 in the third, and your guess is as good as mine how low prices will go. For this reason, land purchases should be delayed. Bankruptcies blossom in the peace phase. Most purchases should be limited to your own field of expertise. There will be few prices obtained at bankruptcy sales which will not be lower after bottom side has been reached. Bankruptcies of individuals and corporations will cause extreme difficulties for some banks. Many will do as they did in the 1920s, be back to the wall and taken over by stronger banks. Usually the announcements of such mergers will be in such a manner as to leave the impression that this is the best business deal ever made. Every bank account is insured, but the insurance is limited to a set amount. One large New York bank failing could use up the entire insurance fund. Will the government come to the rescue? To the rescue of private banking system for which they have no responsibility? Again, one can't say. They came to the rescue of one big bank. No one knows what some future government will do. The government has responsibility for its own death, not the death of the privately Jewish-owned Federal Reserve System. Cash is the thing many Pennsylvania farmers prefer. If you put your money in a bank lockbox, will you be able to get it if the banks close? You could in some areas during the last depression when they closed the banks. In other cities, people were not allowed access to their lock boxes. Listen carefully. Buying a house. Park Avenue has been hired by the Jewish lenders to nurture carefully the feeling among young people that owning a home is a necessity. I say nurture carefully, advisedly, because this is a relatively new concept in America. Earlier generations did not feel this way. In a Jewish usury society, the ownership of anything that can be taxed poses a drawback to ownership. Millions of acres of land in our country have changed hands many times simply because former owners could not produce the required taxes. This problem with taxes is compounded when property is being bought on time. At the top of the business cycle, a house might be worth $100,000. If you buy, quotes, and contract to repay in 10 years at 20%, you may be able to carry the payment load only if your business prospers. A farmer is a commodity producer. His business suffers from the moment the topside year is reached and commodities decline in value. As his income suffers, his ability to make payments also suffers. A manufacturer uses commodities. His business prospers as the price of commodities declines and labor costs stabilize. Both the farmer and manufacturer suffer together when the bottom side year is reached and all business slows to a trickle and prices are at their lowest. In many cases, the income of both the commodity producer and manufacturer declines to only 20 to 30% of former levels. At the very time when income has dropped to its lowest level, the price of real estate also drops. The $100,000 house may now have a market value of only $20,000, but will still require the legally contracted yearly payments of $23,190.72. And this does not count utilities, upkeep, and taxes. The myth of home ownership, quotes, entices foolish young people to ruin themselves in quest of the American Jew mortgage dream, which never in fact existed. They forget that our grandfathers rented until they could afford to buy. To help grasp the impossibility of the situation, here's an example. You borrow $100,000 to purchase a house at 20% for 15 years. The first year you pay $21,075.60. The second year, $42,151.20. The third year, $61,226.80. The fourth year, $84,302.40. The fifth year, $105,378. The sixth year, $126,453.60. The seventh year, $147,529.20. The eighth year, $168,604.80. The ninth year, $189,680.40. The tenth year, $210,756. The 11th year, $231,831.60. The 12th year, $252,907.20. The 13th year, $273,982.80. The 14th year, $295,058.40. And on the final and 15th year, you will have paid $316,134. If the buyer misses a payment, the house can be thrown on the market for what it will bring. The chances are it may not bring as much as a single year's payment. That will mean that the owner is still liable for the remainder of the mortgage. The rest of his possessions may be attached and sold to satisfy the insatiable demands of Jew interest. Unemployment associated with the downturn in commodity prices forces hundreds of thousands of couples to abandon their houses and double up with their parents. This throws tens of thousands of other homes on the market, adding to the housing glut. There are just as many people as before, but they are living in fewer houses. The prices of homes plunge. Many of these houses are rented to allow them to produce some sort of income. This tends to force rent levels lower and lower, a real boon to those who must rent. The prudent, who have lived by the law and who have not owed and who have lived modestly and prudently, are now in position to be rewarded for their patience. They may awake one day to find the $100,000 house of their dreams thrown on the market for $10,000 or $15,000. The big spender, who is making the $23,190.72 payments each year, may have bankrupted. His house will go for whatever people will pay for it. In short, the young couple who wishes to own a house in the peace phase should plan carefully. They should rent modest accommodations. They should save. They should continually shop the house market to stay familiar with prices. No purchases need be made until commodities have bottomed and started up. There should be a long period of many months in which to purchase desirable property. In due time, the seller will be most reasonable when approached by a potential buyer with cash in hand. The Jew usury system is made to order for buyers who keep their value straight, who are patient, and who can have money. Let's look at conditions in the last depression. After the 1929 crash, money disappeared. There was no money anywhere. Let's say that again. There was virtually no money in circulation. The grocer had groceries, the car dealers had cars, there were houses for sale everywhere. There was a plentiful supply of trained labor willing to work for 15 cents to 20 cents an hour, but there was no money to pay them. Where did all the money go? The small floating supply of ready money that always circulates went to pay nurturing debts and vanished into the banks. No new money was borrowed into existence to replace it. The reason that new money is not borrowed into existence is that once all property has an IOU attached, there is almost nothing left to mortgage on which a bank will lend money. One morning, a man goes to the grocer and pays him a dollar for food. That afternoon, the grocer takes the dollar to the bank and pays it against his debt. The $1 credit cancels out the grocer's $1 debt, and the dollar vanishes. Poof, just like that. In the morning, there was $1 in circulation. That evening, it had disappeared. There is $1 less. In the deflation part of a 50-year cycle, a money vacuum always develops. How can people get money to buy groceries? How will employers pay workers? And how can renters pay rents? And how can farmers buy seed? This was the big problem faced in the 1930s. Ignorant people answer that the government will print money. This would be nice, but it would violate the agreement made with the Jewish bankers. It is the Jewish bankers who control the monetary system, not the government. In the 1930s, after a lapse of a great many months, the government borrowed money from the commercial banks and the Federal Reserve System to pay for make-work programs. This put money into circulation to the benefit of interest bankers. If the people had waited for the Jewish-controlled government to coin the money, they could have starved to death. In desperation, the people of America made their own money. Just as their ancestors made tallies, they made and issued money. Cities across America printed and issued paper scrip. This scrip was a tax credit certificate. It was good for the payment of taxes in the city that issued it. This gave it value. City policemen, firemen, and other city employees were paid with this money. It was acceptable at the grocery store and had value. Tired of waiting for the politicking politicians to do something to start the wheels of commerce rolling again, many large corporations also issued their own scrip, redeemable in merchandise from their own factories. It was a piece of paper which could be exchanged for a washing machine, cast iron pipe, or cases of food. The scrip had value. The grocery store would accept it too. Across America, counties issued scrip. Cities issued scrip. Long-needed local municipal projects were undertaken and paid for in scrip. The scrip was retired from circulation as it was tendered for taxes. The municipal script system that grew up in the 30s left no lasting debt as a bad aftertaste. From the complete absence of money, which had caused commerce to ground to almost a dead stop, there emerged a superabundance of different kinds of money. In the large cities, the local grocery stores were receiving 15 or 20 different types of scrip, in addition to the occasional Federal Reserve note. Local businessmen met to bring order out of confusion and determine which kind should be accepted. The public turned against debt. No one wanted to do business with the banks. The banks demanded repayment in nothing but their own Federal Reserve notes. Interest rates dropped as low as 1% to 2%. American Jewish usurers were not about to lose control of the monetary system if they could help it. In spite of the national destitution brought on by their interest banking, their banks refused to accept scrip in payment against the mortgages. Why should they accept scrip when they were foreclosing those who did not have Federal Reserve notes to pay on their IOUs? They also saw to it that nothing but their own Federal Reserve note could be received for federal taxes. When all property had been foreclosed that was going to be foreclosed, they ordered public works programs started. This would prime the pump and give the people enough Federal Reserve notes to start a new inflationary cycle. Local municipal script was good locally. By law, Federal Reserve notes were acceptable everywhere and were good for payment of federal taxes. With the federal government's backing, the Federal Reserve notes won out over local script, but it was close. The day will come once more when lending will stop. New money will stop coming into circulation. Interest payments will quickly eat up the floating supply. Money will disappear from circulation just as it did before. You will need groceries. The grocer will have groceries. Just like the 1930s, there will be no way to make the transfer other than barter. The subject of personal bankruptcy is a painful subject. Our law tells us that we must be honest in our dealings and that we must owe no man anything but love. The law also tells us that while we are allowed to charge interest to those of another race, we are not to charge interest to our own so-called strangers or Aryan kinsmen, and that we are to release our debts every 7 years and not to enslave permanently one of our own, since the borrower is servant to the lender. The Jewish usury system which has been placed over us results in slavery in one degree or another for everyone entangled in its net. The farmer who was ignorant of the law and who bought land for $800 an acre on credit in 1919 still had to make yearly payments of $125 an acre in the depths of the Depression in 1941. But in the 1941 market, the value of this same land had dropped to only $65 to $75 an acre. This selling price was significantly less than his buying price and even less than his yearly payment toward ownership. Because he had given his word, however, he lived through impossible privation and forced this privation on his loyal wife and family. He became work-worn, a wrung-out husk of a man, and his wife's face showed the privations. His children used cardboard to cover the holes in their shoes. I remember. I knew many of these people. I went to school with their children. This is slavery, the worst sort that has ever stalked any land. All the debts can never be paid in a Jewish interest usury society. There are more IOUs than there is money to pay. It was designed that way to trap people. The people who run the debt system know precisely what they are doing. Since we are dealing with a Babylonian system, or the devil's system, and since there is no way out for most who are caught in its net, I have this word of advice for its victims. Bankrupt immediately. If you were ignorant of the law of Jewish usury, if you went into the usury contract innocently, if there is no way the contract can be fulfilled without undue suffering for you and your family, don't wait. So-called bite the bullet and bankrupt immediately. Straighten out your life and your finances. Don't worry about your credit rating. It's something you shouldn't have and don't need. Promise that you will never again return to the mire. With God's help, doors may open to you in the future, and you may gain back all that you may seem to lose today. In the meantime, you can live as a free man. Go and sin no more. Every 4 years, the stock market bottoms. 2 years later, near election day, it peaks. Just knowing that gives you a whopping edge. Pump money in to make things look good, and after the election, cut it off. Observe the years 1978, 74, 70, 66, on back to 1926. What do you see? Market booms. Every 4 years, market booms. In the interest-free system of our ancestors, there was no such thing as booms and busts. But in a Jewish usury system, where the usurers manipulate the economy to elect their hand-picked politicians, you have inflations and deflations to coincide with elections. Congress appropriates money. The president spends it at the time most advantageous for him, just before election. This causes the stock market to rise, making voters happy on election day. With the money all spent, after the election, the stock market crashes. A new 4-year election cycle then starts all over again. If you didn't know this, you may have been fooled into selling at the bottom when others were buying, or buying at the top about election day when others were selling. Watch out for war. War. There will be war, many wars, including a big one. No one knows the timing of the big one, but it will come. There has to be war to make the Jewish interest system work. The lack of money to carry on business will cause the misery of the people to be intense. The government will not print money to relieve the suffering. The only way they will allow it to come into existence is for it to be borrowed into existence from the banks of the Federal Reserve System and their sister usury banking systems throughout the world. It can be borrowed into existence faster if the government is made to borrow money to buy an expensive airplane, costing $50 million or more each, than if the government has to go to the trouble of contracting for 1,000 $50,000 houses, one at a time. Then, too, the plane will be obsolete in 5 years and will have to be reordered, a never-ending source of business. The cheaper houses will be around for a long time. World War II didn't get started until 6 years after the war phase started. Usually it's sooner. In the past, the major war of war phase has not been a brush fire war. It has been something serious. The peace phase will end when commodity prices decline as far as they are going to decline. Mines will be closed. Lumber companies will have been shut down. This will cause raw materials to become scarce. In time, a war will be started to force people to borrow money into existence. As a result, prices will start up again. The downside year is behind. When this happens, one may buy any natural resource virtually risk-free. Gold. Inflation again raises its head. The people welcome it. The price of gold starts to rise. If the price of gold is pegged at a certain level by government decree, inflation will quickly drive gold out of circulation as people hoard gold coins. If the government confiscates gold for itself or for a private banking system, people will not notice price increases as rapidly. But gold confiscation causes such an uproar that Western governments try to keep a free market in gold if they feel that confiscation will cause problems. While prices are low, this is the time to buy gold. Real estate. Real estate prices should theoretically bottom at the same time commodity prices bottom. The tremendous inventory of land for sale, however, tends to hold the lid on prices. It is a case of special situation. Halfway through the war phase, land prices start to edge up, faster in some areas than others, then rush to the top. This is the time to shop for houses. There is no rush. The mobs of unemployed generations doubling up and continuing bankruptcies tend to ensure that the price for houses will stay relatively low for some time. The commodity bottom was reached in 1932. House prices did not start to rise a great deal until after 1940. Someone said, suppose things just don't happen that way. Suppose these plans to cope with the usual sort of cycle just don't work out. That plans to buy houses, businesses, and profit by the next depression don't materialize the way they have in the past. Few of our people believed that these are normal times. Most believe that events are in a countdown for something. Crime, rape, venereal disease, child molestation, homosexuality, and blasphemy greet our nation with each sunrise, and it gets worse and worse. Why? The reason was written long ago. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Thou hast forsaken the Lord. Jeremiah, the 2nd chapter, 19th verse. There you have it. Things are getting bad because our people are being led to ignore the laws of Almighty God Yahweh. Conditions will continue to get worse until thine own wickedness shall correct thee. If our people are hard-hearted enough, it is possible that we may reach a point of unspeakable misery. When will our Lord lift this burden from us? What is it he wants of us? This is what he wants, and this is what he will get. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, Almighty Yahweh, with all thy heart. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, 5th verse. And how are we to express this love? If you love me, keep my commandments. John, the 14th chapter, the 15th verse. We have not kept God's command in regards to Jewish interest, and matters have developed just as he said they would. In fact, matters have progressed farther than many realize. The history given in this tape should enable the listener to grasp the true condition of today's society. At the risk of being repetitious, here is the present situation summarized. 45% of the stock of all corporations in America is held in trust at bank trust departments. The banks vote this stock to elect directors of corporations. The directors tell the corporations whom to support and make grants to. In this way, banks control the national media. Every TV network, newspaper chain, or radio chain that has stock outstanding is almost certain to be controlled. To look into the TV is to see into the soul of its master, the Jew. Small media. If local radio, TV, or newspapers support Jewish bank interests, they get advertising. If this advertising is withheld, they are forced out of business. Small media must also be liberal. Alternate media. Certain nationally known newsletters and newspapers claim to be conservative, but receive favorable national media coverage. Almost without exception, they support Jewish bank policies. Those that oppose Jewish bank policy receive national media blackout and loss of subscribers and loss of revenue. Education. Liberal colleges receive grants from corporations. Corporate directors are placed on their board of visitors. Consequently, few colleges have conservative professors. Fewer colleges are conservative. They can't be if they expect to receive grants. Politicians. To receive media coverage for election, most politicians must be liberals or secret, quote, liberals. Supporters of Jewish bank policies receive media exposure and donations. Opponents of Jewish bank policy receive media blackout and are not reelected. Small town politicians, public officials, and even the smallest villages tend to owe their election to media exposure, just as their big city cousins. It is possible to have 90% of the electorate in a small village conservative and still have liberal politicians. They will be the only ones given media exposure. Police. Liberal politicians control the police. The higher one goes, the more complete the control. The most tightly controlled are the armed services, CIA, FBI, federal marshals, next, city police, and county sheriffs. With few exceptions, they all enforce policy indirectly dictated by the New York Jewish banks, or lose their jobs. Other nations. The borrower is servant to the lender. Most nations in the world are in debt to the U.S. banks. As a consequence, most nations of the world are servants to the 10-for-11 system of the Jewish U.S. banks and will do their bidding. There you have it. Media, politics, education, police, and foreign nations. All earthly authority is in the hands of those Jews who rule the world's money system. You cannot look to any of the above for help. Suppose that instead of dropping atomic bombs, the Soviets are instructed to call their euro dollar loans or just default. Or suppose third world nations refuse to borrow money into existence to pay interest. The other side of the coin is for the international banks to make virtually interest-free loans to third world nations. The third world nations can invest the loan money in U.S. government bonds and receive the interest. This bond interest can then be paid to the lending bank. In this way, the U.S. taxpayers pay foreign third world debts. The banks take in billions, and America is bled white. The end result is the same. Dollars would immediately evaporate from circulation, causing massive shutdowns of business, transportation, communication, and power. Trucks and trains would stop running. There would be no way to pay the drivers and engineers. There would be an immediate shortage of food, since supermarkets carry only a 3-day supply on their shelves. The U.S. food shortage stories bandied about by the survival letters a few years ago could develop rapidly. We published our first, all the way back in 1963, advising people to prepare for survival and store food, whether it actually took place in a year or 30 years. This food shortage would be more than just the difficulty of getting the food from farm to market. There would be an actual shortage. From 1/4 to 1/2 of America's farmers will soon be bankrupted off their land. The world is fed with our vanishing surplus. The Soviet Union and China will be short also. It is not logical to assume the Soviet Slavs and the hundreds of millions of Orientals would sit still and starve while food is still being grown in America. They would be forced to take it to survive. The only way they can take it is to come here to take it. Combine this situation with the reports over the past several years stating that the Soviets and their surrogates have trained and armed alien wetbacks before sending them into our country. If these racial alien strangers make common cause with the rest of the half-breeds in our midst, what need is there for a massive missile attack? The country would be at a standstill. Nothing moving. No food. No power. A hostile, armed, and belligerent crowd of other races in our midst, controlling finance, government, armed services, the media, while their wilder brethren rule the streets. If, in spite of all, our people do rise to overthrow their oppressors, the foreign armies of our enemies would be ordered to enter our country to protect them. There would be no need for a massive assault, since we would not deal with our enemies at a distance according to law. We would have to deal with our enemies here, face to face, according to God's law. Savage enemies that are as countless as locusts, all united against their traditional foe. Can this situation be avoided? Certainly. God forbids the Jewish usury system. We allow it. As a natural consequence, our defenseless farmers are bankrupting. A food shortage is on the way. To keep from starving, our enemies must try to take our land and our food. We own the world's breadbasket. They are being drawn to us as if they had hooks in their jaws. See Ezekiel 38 and 39. Since our leaders are doing nothing to put our people in compliance with the law, these events will continue to unwind. Only instant, absolute obedience to the law can stop them. This frightening condition was foreseen long ago when our fathers still lived in Israel. The promise made to Abraham was that, "Tell the stars if thou be able to number them, so shall thy race be." Genesis, the 15th chapter, the 5th verse. If God said it would happen, it would happen. Abraham's descendants numbered only a few million in the tiny land of Palestine. This was not the hundreds of millions God had promised. In the year 1000 B.C., while our people were still living in Palestine, and before they were taken away into captivity, God remembered his promise and said, "I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more." 2 Samuel, 7th chapter, 10th verse. He did. God gave us a land big enough to hold us. The New Jerusalem. J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. A land which had always been waste, but which became a rich, bountiful land and blessed as no other land has ever been blessed. This land is ours. We are to move no more. The black cloud threatening this country and its people was foreseen down to the last detail. It was long ago foretold that two parts therein shall be cut off and die. But I will bring the third part through the fire. Zechariah, the 13th chapter, the 8th verse. Because of false priests and false leaders, our land is rapidly filling with other races. They now number almost half. Soon they will number two-thirds. In the face of all this, we have God's promise that the third part will come through the fire. Our nation will live as long as there is sun and a moon. This is not open to question. We have his word. National Christians have the feeling deep inside that it is time for great things to happen in this world. There is a feeling of expectation in the air. The time has arrived, at last, for all our God, Almighty God Yahweh, to unfold the last chapter in his master plan for us. This is that time. The future will be exactly as written in the Bible. And there came one of the angels, saying, "I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great. And the angel said unto me, I will tell you the mystery of the woman. The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are people. These shall hate the whore. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, or system, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And he cried, Babylon the great is fallen for all nations. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her plagues. And the merchants of the earth shall weep, for no man buyeth fine flour, wheat, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. The merchants shall stand, saying, Oi, 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 that great city, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And a mighty angel took up a stone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. Revelations the 17th and 18th chapters. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Almighty Yahweh, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Moscow and Tobolsk. I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company. Persia, which is Iran, Ethiopia, now scattered throughout the West, and Libya, traditional enemy of Christendom. Goma and all his bands, including Ashkenaz, Goma's son, the house of Tagama, in the later years thou shalt come against the mountains, nations of Israel, which have been always waste. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, Thus saith the Lord God, In that day thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army, and thou shalt come up against thy people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. And it shall come to pass, at the same time when Gog shall come up against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God Almighty Yahweh, that my fury shall come up in my face, and I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, nations, saith the Lord God Yahweh, every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands, and upon the many people that are with him, and overflowing rain and great hailstones. I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains, nations of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, and there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude. Then shall they know that I am Almighty God Yahweh. I have gathered them unto their own land, neither will I hide my face any more from them. For I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God Yahweh. From Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, the 21st verse through to the 39th chapter, the 29th verse. Events will unfold in just this way because God said they would. It is the result of all that has gone before. God forbade Jewish interest. His people had ignored the prohibition. In so doing, they have allowed Babylon to rule them and inflict hurt on them generation after generation. The destruction of the forbidden Jewish interest system, not the end of the earth, is at hand. Babylon will be destroyed according to Scripture with violence. In the days ahead, it will be foolish to count on help from bankers, industrial leaders, media, elected politicians, armed services, police, or apostate religious leaders. A great many individuals in these organizations are secretly for you and would help you any way they can. But most of the leaders have been carefully selected through control and voting of corporation stock. Most people are already involuntary servants, but nevertheless obedient ones, through the system of lending 10 for 11. The borrower is servant. Face it, son of man, you are defenseless against the forces of Babylon. The only shield left to you is your God. Almighty God Yahweh and His Son, Jesus Christ. He planned it this way. You must now study more on your own. Seek the truth about the Babylonian Jewish banking system, which endlessly demands war cycles of blood and peace cycles of poverty. Almighty God Yahweh will help you find it and will tell you what to do. Zechariah, the 12th chapter, 8th and 9th verses. In His hands, you are safe. In the name of Almighty God Yahweh and His Son Jesus Christ, we thank you.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.